another exciting episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I am Burl Love, editor of the Enquirer, your host today, along with recurring co-host, the one and only Casey Sloan. How are you, Casey?
So good. So happy to be here.
So you guys did it without me last week, you and Keith.
Yeah, it was fun. It was nerve-wracking.
It was fun, Phil. It was fun without me. It's not fun with me.
No, it's fun with you too. Oh, okay. I was so nervous, so.
All right. Well, I'm hearing good things about that podcast.
Oh, good.
Who doesn't like zips?
I know. And Keith like demanded that I go there and eat the night before the podcast.
So that's show prep?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I did. And it was great. It was my like first meal of the day. So the cheeseburger was overwhelmingly really good.
Yeah, I bet it hit.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
It's kind of like when you have a beer on an empty stomach. It hits a little differently. Yeah. Same with a good cheeseburger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is going to be a lighthearted podcast today because you know what? It's March. The Reds are playing in Goodyear.
Yeah.
I've seen the lights being tested down there at Great American Ballpark. Seems like the Reds are having a good spring training, other than the news this week that Hunter Green is hurt. Again. Well, we're not gonna bring this podcast down. So we have special guests. Jack Greiner is a friend of the Enquirer. He is our First Amendment lawyer who is our go-to guy when we're trying to get public records freed up or we need to file a court complaint. Jack has represented us on numerous cases on every level, including the Supreme Court. But when Jack isn't being a lawyer, Jack is being a big Reds fan, and he, along with another lawyer, his buddy Randy Freaking, do a podcast called the We Love Our Team podcast that is seasonal. It kicks off with baseball season, and it's all about talking to people in Cincinnati about, you know, why they love the Reds and their favorite Reds memories and things like that. So we're going to have a great conversation with them. And should be a lot of fun. But speaking of fun, you in your role, Casey, you cover what we call trending news.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been writing about, for those who haven't been following The Voice,
yes,
one of the contestants is from this area.
Yeah, he's from Cincinnati. He's a LaSalle grad, graduated from NKU. His name is Aaron Lavinay. And yeah, he went to his blind audition and he got the chairs turned around from Kelly Clarkson and John Legend. And it's funny because him and John Legend were kind of going back and forth. And he was like, so how long have you been singing, doing music? And he was like, it's funny you should say that, John. I'm also from Ohio. So they went to the whole OHIO spiel. And, you know,
it was an Ohio love fest.
Yeah, pretty much. Kelly Clarkson was like, well, my mom was born in Ohio, like really trying to get him.
Oh, so now all of a sudden it's cool to be from Ohio after everybody wants to hate on us. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was really trying to get him on his team. And I honestly thought that he would go for John Legend, you know, as a Springfield native myself. I was also kind of rooting for him, but he ended up picking Kelly Clarkson. So he's on Team Kelly.
Team Kelly.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of his performances?
I just watched the blind audition. He sang a Foreigner song, Feels Like the First Time, and he did pretty good.
So you think he's going to have legs in the contest?
I think so. But I'm a little biased also because I did graduate from NKU, so I'm like full on rooting for him.
So wait a minute. You're both from Springfield.
Well,
John Legend's from Springfield. He grew up in, he was a LaSalle grad. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, you know, I'm surprised he, you know, didn't tap into that like Ohio magic with John Legend.
I know. It really threw me off guard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that gives us something to look forward to, watching a local person go through The Voice.
Yeah. It'll be good.
All right. Foreigner. That's an odd pick. I mean, that's... People aren't exactly...
It's a tough song to sing, too, because, you know, they're very high-pitched for that one.
Yeah.
And he did pretty well.
You got to have the upper register for that.
Mm-hmm.
I won't... It's a little early in the morning for me to...
for you to try it out.
Yeah, for me to... It feels like the first time. Yeah. Anyway, that song's up there. So, okay. Well, that's fun. I'm sure you'll be following that for our readers if you don't watch The Voice.
Yep.
But I think it's time we jump in and talk to our special guest once again, hosts of the We Love Our Team podcast, Jack Greiner and Randy Freaking. It is special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. And as promised, we have two lawyers in the studio today.
Right.
I mean, is there a joke there?
There's lots of jokes there.
How many lawyers are too many?
That's right.
But we're not talking about legal matters today. Maybe at the end we'll talk about a couple of things. But Randy Freaking and Jack Greiner, as if you're not busy enough with your day jobs, you have this podcast going on that you've had, what, for a couple of years now?
This will be our third year.
The third year.
Year three.
Called We Love Our Team, all about baseball, the Reds. I've had the honor of being a guest. I'm sure that was one of your most downloaded episodes, I'm sure.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Thank you. So let's go back to the beginning. Obviously, you guys are students of baseball, particularly the Reds. Were you sitting in a bar one afternoon or evening and decided, hey, we should do a podcast, and it actually happened? What is the origin of the We Love Our Team podcast?
Quite literally. We were in Allen's Cafe, the dearly departed Allen's Cafe down in Columbia, Tuscaloosa. It was something I've always been sort of intrigued by, the idea of Cincinnatians, you know, just really do, or at least a segment, really do love the Reds. And some prominent Cincinnatians, you know, there's some great anecdotes about their love of the Reds even after they left Cincinnati. The one that comes immediately to mind is Potter Stewart, who was a Supreme Court justice, sitting, listening to oral arguments, I think in the Spiro Agnew case in 1973, but getting updates from his clerk for the Reds-Mets playoff game that was going on that day. So, I mean, he literally was reading notes from his clerk. And then, you know, you think about maybe like Charlie Sheen, pretty famous guy, huge Reds fan. And I was always kind of intrigued by that, and just trying to think of a way to explore that. Was it a book? What was it? And then, you know, podcasting came along, and then Randy and I were having lunch at Allen's a few years ago, and I mentioned it to Randy, and Randy was like, well, yeah, let's do it. And next thing you know, we were doing it.
That's right. It's a lot of fun, Burl. So we just enjoy doing it. We do get a lot of guests on there. They're longtime Reds fans. You know, one of our earliest guests was Kirk Herbstreit, who turns out to be a huge Reds fan. Grew up in Centerville, was listening to Reds games in his car, driving his friends to parties in high school, and made them listen to Marty and Joe. You know, they wanted to put on Led Zeppelin. Kirk wanted to put on WLW.
That's right.
Well, that was a great guest. Who have some of your other great guests been besides me?
Right. Besides you. Who was number two?
Yes.
Three or four? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, though. It's just on Kirk for one more minute. I do think Kirk scared off Chris Collinsworth because we.
Really?
Yeah. We reached out. I know Holly. I used to work with Holly, Chris's wife, and I sent her an email, and I thought it would help if we sent a link to the Kirk's appearance. And it didn't.
No.
I think Chris listened to that and said, man, I don't know nearly as much about the
he was intimidated.
He was intimidated, I think, by Herbstreit. Yeah. So anyway, you know, we've delved into politics. We had Governor Mike DeWine on, which led to a call about a week later from Sherrod Brown's people saying, hey, we want to be on the podcast too. So we had Sherrod Brown on
equal
the podcast.
Equal time, right.
Equal time. We've had three of the Ohio Supreme Court justices, the Cincinnati justices, Pat Fisher, Joe Dieters, and Megan Shanahan have been on. We had Nick Clooney. I'll tell you another one of the seriously one of the you asked about how popular you are, which is incredibly popular. But another Enquirer connection was Jim Borgman. Jim is one of our top downloads. I bet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And we're going to have him on again this upcoming season. But we had John Hirschbeck, a former MLB umpire. Very interesting stories about the World Series between the Cubs.
Does he
and
have
the
local
Indians.
Connections?
No, he's from Youngstown, so he's more of a Guardians fan.
Yeah.
He's an Ohio guy, but actually his daughter and my daughter went to medical school together. So we've gotten to be kind of buddies. So I was able to reach out to him.
That's so Cincinnati.
That is
well,
so
you
Cincinnati.
Don't want to mix religion and politics, but we also had Archbishop Casey on.
Okay.
The week he was throwing out the first pitch down at the ballpark.
Right.
Turns out to be a big baseball fan.
Cubs.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of sports writers, well, sports reporters.
There's another prominent Catholic leader who's a White Sox fan, I believe. Are you going to go after
him?
We
haven't gotten Pope Leo yet.
We're trying to reach out.
He's on our wish list.
Our people are talking to his people.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, our people are talking. We have people?
You know, a few cardinals. You can.
No cardinals.
You know, man.
We're not having any cardinals on our podcast.
Amanda Brenneman. You know, John Popovich, Denny Jansen.
Danny Sabo.
Greg Rhodes, Tom Tuchia, who designed the statue for Marty, you know, that was broken
A
few months ago. Well, he designed all the statues.
He designed all the statues.
Yeah. So,
well, that's an all-star lineup.
We have fun.
I'm pretty humbled to have been a guest on this prestigious podcast. So what I like about the podcast is that, and going back to Chris Collinsworth feeling intimidated, I think it is the range of baseball knowledge has been wide because you really kind of focus in on the more personal connections, not, you know, not people flexing their encyclopedic knowledge of stats and everything like that, which is, you know, why I felt comfortable, because I'm not, you know, I'm a big Reds fan, but I can't recall dates and stats like some people do. You know, I have, you know, very strong, you know, feelings about certain teams in certain years, you know. But it's for me, it's more interesting to hear people's personal connections, why they are fans.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, when people start going down the rabbit holes of like, you know, who's the best Reds pitcher and things like that.
Things you can Google.
But that's interesting, too.
Yeah.
You can Google those things.
Right.
You can't Google how Julie Isferding became a Reds fan and how much she loves the Reds.
At least not yet.
You know,
not yet. Well, AI is going to take
care
of that.
Well, you can Google our podcast. I mean, if you put in We Love Our Team, it will come up.
Oh, yeah. We should plug. I mean, you are on, you know, wherever you download your podcast, you can find We Love Our Team. Yeah. Do you know how many episodes you've done so far?
Oh, my gosh.
Coming up on a milestone?
We've done about 90.
90. Well, what's in store for the 100th? You guys better think about this.
Oh, I don't know. That's a great point. We hadn't thought about a milestone episode. You know, so what we've sort of evolved into is we run our podcast. We drop one every Tuesday during baseball season, basically. So we'll kick off here, you know, in a week or two. And we've actually taped a few for this coming season, which were pretty fun. We had, again, it hasn't dropped yet, but Rick Walls, who's the executive director of the Reds Hall of Fame, was a great guest, just, you know, super fun and knowledgeable. Another Enquirer connection, Burl. We had a guy named David Shannon, who Jeff Cease wrote an article about last year. David Shannon is a guy in Kentucky who is doing a project where he's restoring graves of old Reds players. And he was just fascinating. Really interesting guy, big Reds fan. So we were able to talk about his project and then just sort of talk about, you know, his memories and that sort of thing. But it's a great project, and Jeff did a really, really nice job on it. And then we haven't taped this one yet, but we have it scheduled to record, which is a guy named Dick Schatz, also known as Schatzy. Jason Williams just recently did a column about him. He has, you know, traveled, driven himself from here to Arizona and back, you know, to see the Reds and that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to that one.
Yeah, David Shannon was really interesting. I mean, there's a lot of players from the late 1800s. Now, some of these guys only played one game. But somehow David Shannon has figured out they were a Red, and they're buried someplace, and their grave's not marked at all. And the families, you know, are over the moon.
I bet.
Being contacted saying, we want to acknowledge him as a Major League Baseball player or as a Cincinnati Red at his gravesite. So it's interesting. You know, some people have these unique passions. And
yeah, it just kind of illustrates how passionate some people can be and how that, like, takes shape.
No doubt.
So no doubt. I thought it'd be fun, since, Jack, you sent me kind of the format of the podcast and some questions, to do two things: to give people a taste of what they will hear when they listen to the podcast, but also turn the tables a bit. Okay. And ask each of you a couple of these questions. And I love I love some of the titles that you've given these questions. So I want to start with one of my favorite ones: the Hall and Oates "You Make My Dreams Come True" question. Is who would you like to see in a Reds uniform? Let's start with you, Randy.
Well, you know, I'm going to maybe go with the obvious choice. I think the best player in Major League Baseball right now, Shohei Ohtani, would look wonderful in a Cincinnati Reds uniform.
I have that on my list as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, I think of some old timers, like, you know, sure, it'd be nice to have Babe Ruth on our team or Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb would be good then.
Ty Cobb and Pete Rose playing together.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Pete wouldn't, you know, have to carry the burden of, right, of being the biggest scofflaw the Reds have ever
exactly
had.
Yeah. Yeah.
My current player would be probably Aaron Judge. Just his huge presence and number 99 in a Reds uniform. I think historically, I think it would have been fun to see Bob Gibson pitching for, you know, those great offensive Reds teams and just that intimidating presence on the mound. So, yeah.
So in addition to Ohtani, I had Kyle Schwarber. I was really hoping that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Reds fans are probably some of the biggest homers around.
For sure.
And to have, you know, somebody with local ties come back would have been, you know, not quite like Junior coming back.
But close.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Kyle was quoted the other day as saying he didn't think it would have been in the long-term best interest of the Reds for him to sign with the Reds.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Which I agree with.
Yeah.
Particularly with a risk of injury or something like that. Lord knows we didn't want to spend $125 or $150 million.
Right.
And see him get injured, be in a DL. It
right.
would have been just
we're kind of having new flashbacks to Griffey Jr. now.
Jr., right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, we're just going to switch to ballpark food now. The Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack category. What's your go-to ballpark food? Jack, you get to start this
one.
All
right. So I am pretty simple. I mean, I like a lot of the different amenities they have down there, but I'm a Red Hot Smoky.
Big Red Smoky?
Big Red Smoky, yes. Big Red
Smoky. Because now we can really get to the bottom of this debate.
Okay.
Is it a hot dog or is it a smoked sausage?
Ooh, I'm going to say it's a smoked sausage.
Do you remember that, you know, 8-bit vintage scoreboard
for
Big Red Smokies?
With the crappy animation.
Yeah. I mean, it was state of the art at the time.
Right.
But it was an umpire.
Yeah.
Like, it's a hot dog and a ball player. It's a smoked sausage. I guess it's both. I guess it's a hot dog. Okay.
with pepper. Now, I will, and just one fan tip out there is if you are fortunate enough to ever sit in the diamond seats.
I've heard it's nice down there.
It's nice down there. I've learned this tip from a good friend of mine who will go nameless. After a while, like the sixth or seventh inning, or you go back and they are cooking up fresh dogs, including Big Red Smoke.
I've heard that happens down in
that
the
happens.
Diamond Club.
That
yeah.
Happens.
So it's none good. Of these foil wrapped under the lamp
exactly.
brats and hot
fresh
dogs.
This is
right
grill,
off the
baby.
Grill kind
right.
of thing. Yeah. So, Jack, last year, I don't know if they're going to bring it back, but last year, a year before, they introduced, I think they called it the Big Red Dog or something like that. It's basically a bacon wrapped Big Red Smoky.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
With a special sauce and sauerkraut.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's only offered at a few of the hot dog stands, but you should seek that out because the only way to improve a Big Red Smoky
is wrapping bacon.
Is to wrap it in bacon. What about you, Randy? Now, Randy, you look like you're in good shape. Take care of yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You probably shy away from the typical ballpark
right.
fare. Yeah.
Well, you know, I really like the Montgomery Inn Smokehouse out in right field if we have to grab a meal before the game.
Yep.
You know, but no, if I'm just going to a ball game on a Saturday afternoon or anytime really, it's just a traditional brat loaded with sauerkraut. Can you please give me a little extra sauerkraut kind of guy and give me a Miller Lite or a Bud Light? Or on my NA nights, I'll get a little designated driver wristband at the fan accommodation section.
That's a pro tip right there.
And if you get that wristband, you can go up to a couple booths in the stadium, and they're convenient. $1 Bud Zeros. How about that?
That is
think
a pro
about getting
tip.
A beer at the ballpark for a dollar.
For a buck.
That's a pro tip.
I can drink a 12-pack that night.
You know, one of my favorite nights to go, they started the
3-2-1.
We always take our interns to a 3-2-1 night, and I feel like, Johnny Big Bucks treating the interns, but they have to, pick from the 3-2-1 menu. So it's, $3 beer, $2 hot dogs, $1 ice cream. Yeah.
So. Those are foil-wrapped heat lamp hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Those are not bacon-wrapped.
Full disclosure.
And fresh off the grill, but yes. Yeah. I do think the Reds have really done a great job with the fan experience since Great American Ballpark opened. But I was talking to someone on the Reds administrative staff about every year they have something new, and she said, well, you know how Phil Castellini, she's like, if there's a 10 by 10 square foot area that's not being used, he's going to put a bar in there.
Absolutely.
So, and it's just, when I have guests in from out of town and we go to a game, their impression of Cincinnati is, mid average, right? But when they go into Great American Ballpark, they think it's one of the best ballpark experiences. And these are people that have been, been to see the Giants play in San Francisco and have been to the, revered places like Wrigley or, all over the country. So
I agree.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
All right. Let's get a little baseball wonky right now. The clutch cargo category. All right. And I had when I addressed this, I had to divide it into current and all time.
OK,
so the clutch cargo category, it's two outs, bottom of the ninth, man on second and third. Reds down one. You can hit any Reds player you want. Who are you sending up? Current roster.
Current roster, I would. Oh boy,
it's tough, isn't it?
It is kind of tough.
They haven't been very clutch.
Well, maybe I'll say Gino. Maybe I'll send Gino up there.
Eugenio Suarez. Yeah. Okay, Randy.
You know who I'm going to throw up there, and I really like this guy. He had such a disappointing season last year. He's going to bounce back this year. Matt McClain.
That's who I picked.
I think he's kind of a grinder.
He had three home runs yesterday.
Nice. He's gonna focus in if he's in that situation. Yep. I just like the way his mental approach to the game, I think, is really strong. And
I just
hope he has a great bounce back season. I think he had a shoulder injury.
Yeah, he was
a lingering shoulder injury.
You can tell he wasn't right last year.
He wasn't whining about it, but he was struggling. He was batting 210, 220, striking out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not afraid to play a little bit hurt, unlike a certain pitcher who I can't even mention his name right now.
Oh, let's just...
Hunter Green. Yeah. Oh.
We don't want to get there.
We're going to get there. Okay, so from the all-time roster, who's your clutch? Two men on, one run down.
Go ahead, Randy.
Burl, I've got to go with Tony Perez. He was clutch in the 1966 All-Star game in the 15th inning. Sitting out on my back porch in Finneytown, watching that on our black and white TV at midnight. But then, the three-run homer in Game 7 of the 1975 World Series. If he doesn't hit, I think it's a singular most important hit in Reds history.
Wow. Okay.
Because we're so focused on the big red machine.
Right.
He doesn't hit that three-run homer in Boston in Game 7. I don't know if we would have had a big red machine in 1976. He
Very
might have been
true.
Gone.
Yeah.
Because we lost in 70, 72. There was a lot of pressure on that team to win in 75. And he hits the Eefus pitch and changes the entire history of the big red machine.
Jack, you're going to have a hard time.
I really can't follow that. I had said the other day when I was thinking about this, maybe the 1977 George Foster, because it just seemed like he hit everything. And 52 home runs, 100 and whatever RBIs. So if I can have the 1977 George Foster, I might send him up.
I picked Joe Morgan.
I was thinking that. I mean, yeah. he drove in the winning run in 70s. Yeah. So.
He didn't have that one defining clutch hit like Perez, but time after time, tough to pitch to, you know, hard to strike out.
Yep.
Perez had 90 or more RBIs in, I believe, 11 consecutive seasons, which is pretty incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. This one is fun. The Guy Fieri dinner party category. You can invite one red and two others to dinner. Who's coming to your party? You want to go first, Jack?
All right. I told Randy the other day, when I initially thought about this answer, it was going to be Joey Votto, because I think he's just fascinating.
Yep.
Dr. Seuss, because I would love to meet Dr. Seuss and Paul McCartney. Now, that sounds like a fun dinner party. Now, however, then I started thinking about it.
Sounds like an awkward dinner party.
It could be. It could be a little bit awkward,
baby.
Then I started doing some more thinking, and I thought, well, I've also heard Dusty Baker is just a really interesting guy. A lot of interest outside of baseball, a lot of great stories from baseball. I've seen, like, the kind of music he likes. Okay, so now I got Dusty Baker. Then I thought, you know, Dusty Baker was teammates with Hank Aaron. Well, I got to have Hank Aaron, right? And now I got Dusty Baker and Hank Aaron and Willie Mays. I mean,
there you go. Yeah.
That's my dinner party. So it'll be a little more baseball centric than the other
right.
one.
Right. Yeah. You
know. Yeah, Burl, I'm going to go with Harry Wright, who was the founder of the 1869 Red Stockings, the first professional.
Yeah.
He played. And his brother played, George Wright. George was the better player.
Yeah,
but Harry became one of the great managers of all time. He left Cincinnati in 1871, went to Boston, stole the Red Stockings name, by the way, and the Red Stockings went out of business in Cincinnati for 5 years. So I just think that'd be fascinating, you know, all the politics of paying players after you couldn't do it. Then I'd like to have somebody from the 1919 Reds, the Black Sox scandal. So I'm thinking one of the all-time great outfielders, Eddie Rausch.
Yeah.
I don't know much about his personality, frankly, but I'm hoping he would fit in. And then I was torn. I wanted to assure some humor at the party, but I'm going to go with Bob Uecker. I got Harry Carey in second place, but if Bob can't make it, I'm going to invite Harry Carey.
That would be fun.
Uecker's going to bring Miller Lite.
Oh, yeah. We'd have Miller Lite, too, guaranteed.
That's true.
So that'd be fun.
You could do this game. You might be a Reds fan if, and one of them would be, when someone says the Wright brothers, you think about Harry and George instead of Orville and Wilbur. Yeah.
What about you, Burl? Who's at your dinner party?
You know, I went pretty Homerish. I've always been fascinated between the dynamic between Marty Brenneman and Pete Rose.
Ah, okay.
So I would just like to be even a fly in the wall watching those two guys, you know, go at it at a dinner party.
Yeah.
But then, like you, I thought about Harry Carey and Bob Uecker and just some of these big personalities, broadcasters, Joe Garagiola, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
George Will.
Yeah. That would be
maybe.
Fun.
Vin Scully.
But being in my business, like, you know, the broadcasters and the have always played a big role in my fandom, you know, my connection to the team. All right. We'll end with this one because it's the classic, the granite face category. Who is on your Reds Mount Rushmore? You only get four, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Randy. Randy's deep in thought.
Oh, yeah.
Mine always changes, too, so I feel like it should be like Clay, you know,
right.
The Clay face factory.
Right.
Not granted, but I committed to four. I'm curious to hear your four.
I think it'd be fun to see somebody sculpt this, but I'd like to see Pete with his hairdo in like 1970 in a...
Like the Mo from the Three Stooges.
I think it's a great look. So put Pete up there, I think, just because he personifies Cincinnati baseball. I think anybody who asks somebody from another city who's the most famous Red, even though he's not the greatest Red, he's most well known, infamous and famous. And I think you got to put Johnny Bench on there as the greatest catcher of all time. And I'm going to repeat myself a little bit from my dinner party, because I think Harry Wright, the founder, should be on there. And then I'm going to, just because we got two hitters and a manager, I think we need a pitcher. And I think maybe the greatest pitcher in Reds history was Bucky Walters. So a little bit more unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We need an educational experience out in Wyoming when they go visit Mount Rushmore of the Reds. So I'm going to go with Bucky Walters.
Well, if they're looking for Mount Rushmore in Wyoming, they're lost. It's in North Dakota.
Is it in North Dakota?
Okay, but.
Well, there you go, Jack.
Out west somewhere.
No wonder I couldn't.
West
find
of the Rockies.
All right. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to echo Randy a little bit. I'm going to put George Wright because he was the best player on the Red Stockings, the first professional team. Now I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to put Bob Halsem up there because he put together the Big Red Machine, and I think he was just an incredible talent evaluator, and I don't think he gets enough credit even for the 1990 team, because he had come back, people may recall, in the mid-80s, and he drafted a lot of the guys that became the nucleus in 1990. I'm going to put Joe Morgan because I think he was the best overall player on the Big Red Machine. And then I'm going to put Barry Larkin, Cincinnati guy, Hall of Famer, Cincinnati baseball. That's mine.
I have Ben Schroes, Larkin, and Robinson.
Oh, I like that. That's pretty solid.
I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great conversation at a bar.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not necessarily the four greatest players. You know, we've had that debate for years.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's not just about the stats. It's about,
what they brought to the table.
Right, and,
how they represent.
How legendary they are in the minds of fans. All right, I lied. I wanted to do this one, too, just because, as I told you yesterday, Jack, I don't shy away from this controversy. So we're going to go with the Roger Ebert category. Phil, do you know who Roger Ebert is? All right. I bet you if I asked half my staff out there, my younger millennials and Gen Zers out there, they wouldn't know who Roger Ebert is. For our listeners, a famous movie critic, along with Gene Siskel, from Chicago. The question is, what is your favorite baseball movie, Randy?
You know, my favorite movie, I can't get away from it, Field of Dreams. I've watched it a million times. I love it.
Still here get comes choked the controversy.
There we go.
I
think it's overrated. I've tried to like, because I feel like I should like it as a baseball fan. And I just, it drags. It's too like.
Drags on? What are you talking about?
It's too like.
Sit down, Randy. Sit down.
It's so syrupy sweet. You know?
Yes.
Can I have Come a catch?
On.
Wah. My daddy didn't play catch with me.
Subtitle. My daddy didn't play catch with me.
I mean, it's okay.
With a name like Love. And you have no heart. I mean, come on, man. Now, hey, I will confess, I do like The Sandlot.
That's a great movie. I was gonna ask, you should have a kind of separate category for like kid baseball, like The Sandlot and Bad News Bears and everything.
Oh,
because Sandlot's
News
a
Bears.
Great movie. Yeah,
we'll have the,
Randy, I'm gonna tell you my favorite, and it's just gonna give you a window into my like tastes and movies and my sense of humor. But I think the greatest baseball movie of all time is Major League. Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
Is that you?
That's me. That's me too.
Okay.
Thank you, bro.
I could preaching watch that choir. Over and over again. You know, if it's on TNT on a Saturday, I'll be standing there like just watching it
I was just afraid you were going to say Bull Durham. I don't think much of.
Phil likes Bull Durham. Your
producer
Phil told me he watches it before opening day every year. So.
Oh, there you go.
Give him the heater, Ricky.
There's so many quotable lines in Major League.
So many quotable lines.
Yeah.
What I also like, seriously, beyond that, and Euchre, my God, Euchre is fantastic.
Just a bit outside.
But I just love how the team comes together. I really think there's a lot to that movie besides just the hilariousness. And I love Euchre because everybody knows, it's a bit outside. But then if he goes on and says, I don't know how these Yankee hitters are laying off these pitches.
And they're flying over there.
Yeah. I love that.
Vaughn, who last pitched in the California Filipino League. I mean, just he's, you, it's great. Yeah, I know.
Like, that is good.
It's very good. All right. Well, so yeah, another season of We Love Our Team.
We Love Our Team
is about to drop. When is the first
first one's going to drop? On St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
There you go.
So mark your calendars for that. Now the full disclosure time. Jack is a friend of the Enquirer. Jack, when he's not podcasting and doing all things Reds, also is our go-to First Amendment lawyer. And you've been busy the last couple of years. This has been a crazy time. If you are in the, you know, freedom of information business, you care about government transparency. We even all went all the way to the state Supreme Court for Marcy's Law, which we won't get into the ins and out of that. If you're interested, just Google my name and Marcy's Law. I probably wrote five columns about it. Jack, would you say this has been, in your career, one of the most concerning times in terms of I think we used to be starting from a default position that government should be transparent, you know, public records should be public, and exceptions should be narrow. And I have really felt like that's no longer the default. I feel like we're on
my joke,
a different track right now.
My joke when I used to do seminars on public records was that the exceptions, which are labeled with letters, was going to soon lap the alphabet. Well, it's lapped the alphabet twice now. We're at the AAA. So we are, that's 52 plus exceptions. And it's unfortunate. This is in Ohio. It's that I think legislators see something that they don't like and they immediately, you know, introduce an amendment. And what's worse is frequently it gets introduced in the budget bill, which gets passed at 2 a.m., you know, on the last day of the legislative session. And so there's no way to have public comment or anything else about it. The most recent example of that is a provision that allows local police departments to charge up to, I think, $75 an hour for their personnel cost of responding to requests for body cam video. That may not sound like a lot, but a newspaper, a TV station makes a lot of requests for police body cam footage. That really adds up pretty quickly. And again, it just kind of got jammed in there in the budget bill, which is
And, you know, I'm sympathetic to the why behind there because we're in the content creator era. And if you watch people who create content on TikTok or they do reels where they are showing, you know, body cam footage of people getting pulled over and fighting with a police officer, and then they break the glass and all of that stuff. Those content creators are constantly requesting that body cam footage, and it's almost like they have to have a police departments have to have a full time person devoted to fulfilling these requests. Which I think that's part of the problem too.
Yeah,
and you know, if your business model is to make your living off of this, I can see where governments just need to do something.
Right.
But to your point, all of this legislation has usually been bundled up in these big omnibus bills. We haven't been able to give them a proper airing.
Right.
I think you can address the issue, the serious issue they're having with just, you know, serial content creation requests.
Right.
And, you know, what I would call, you know, professional news organizations that have a slightly different mission.
Right.
Yes.
Well, we got good news recently. We had to go to the Supreme Court on a very expedited basis earlier this month. The first criminal trial that is emanating from the First Energy scandal. Two of the executives from First Energy are being tried in Summit County, and the judge in that case put on a really onerous restriction on how the media was going to cover the trial. And I think we filed January 18th in the Supreme Court to challenge that. And we got a decision by mid-February, which is lightning speed when the when a court gets involved. So, and it opened up the trial in terms of the ability to cover it. So it's not all bad news. There's some good news.
No, and you know, sometimes what you do doesn't even go all the way to filing a complaint. Sometimes what I've been amazed at is judges who probably should know better sometimes put forth media restrictions, and sometimes it's just you sending a letter reminding them of the law, pointing out the statute, and then they're like, oh, okay, I guess we really can't keep you out. I guess you do have a job to do.
I think judges get a little overwhelmed by a high profile criminal case. I mean, we're seeing it. We saw it obviously in the First Energy. We saw it in the Pike County trial of one of the, I always get the Wagners confused, but the first Wagner who was tried over in Pike County. We saw it in the Tenzing case here in Hamilton County. And I think the judges want to do the right thing, but their immediate default is to just, it's safer to keep it closed.
Right.
And again, sometimes a letter will do it. Sometimes you got to go to court. But I think their heart's in the right place. I really think they want to do the right thing ultimately. And sometimes they need a little push from us to know what the right
thing
is.
Right? That's why you're here. All right. Back to baseball as we wrap things up. My question for you. And I didn't let you know this ahead of time, so you're going to really have to, work here without a net. Are the Reds making the playoffs in 2026? Jack?
All right. Yes. I'll just say it unequivocally. Yes. I think Suarez is going to provide the pop that they needed. I think McClain's going to bounce back. I'm excited about Sal Storch. I think the pitching, even with Hunter's Elba, hopefully, that is not season ending. But I think, now it's like, okay, Lauder and Burns were fighting for the last spot. Okay, now they both start in the rotation. And I think we've seen, Lauder, we know can pitch well, and Burns could be off the charts. Love Andrew Abbott. Reminds me of Tom Browning a little bit. In the bullpen, just even yesterday, this addition of this guy from Pittsburgh, I think he's got really good. I was looking at his numbers. He strikes a lot of guys out. So I think the bullpen's better than it was last year.
I love Ashcraft, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ashcraft Santion. I mean, I think he got a little weary by the end of the year. But I'm hoping with the additions that they've made, they won't have to go to him as often as they did, because I think they wore him down a little bit. But I think he's really good. I hope Pagan keeps it up. I think he will. If he doesn't, then I think we've got some options. Like you said, Ashcraft could maybe step into that role. Santion maybe. So I'm pretty excited. I predicted 90 wins.
90 wins.
90.
Now, you didn't mention Ellie De La Cruz.
Well, Ellie bigger and buffer.
Have you seen? He is jacked now, man. Yes. He is hitting the gym on the offseason. All right, Randy, are they making the playoffs?
Of course they're going to make the playoffs.
I'm going to change the name of your podcast to Two Homers Talk About Baseball. Two Homers.
You know, and I was wrong. I have to admit I was wrong between 2014 and 2020 and 2021 and 2024. So those years I thought they were going to make the playoffs too. But I think it's a deeper bullpen. I think the pitching staff's another year older. I think it's basically the same hitters, but we got Sal Stewart. I think he's going to be strong. And
he's fun to watch too.
And I love Eugenio. I just love his dance.
Good vibes only, man.
A good rain delay. We're gonna have rain. It's a front loaded schedule this year with home games in April. So we're gonna have a lot of rain delays. And I used to enjoy watching. They've got a tape of Eugenio dancing during the rain delay up on the big screen.
Love it.
I wonder if he's gonna go back to his Cincinnati red blonde hair.
Oh, I know, right?
You know, He stopped dying it when he went to Seattle. I would agree. I think they're in the playoffs, and I think one factor you guys didn't mention is this is the second year of Francona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's, I think, you don't know what you don't know. He's had a full season. He knows his team. I sensed he might have been just a little cautious the first year. I think we're going to see an aggressive Tito. Like, he's not messing around.
Right. I 100% agree.
Where I think he might have been just a, you know, a little bit like, okay, I'm going to just, you know.
The new guy. I mean, it's
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for.
Can we add one more thing?
Oh, yes.
Yes. You need to plug something.
Randy, you got to plug your opening day Eve party.
Opening day Eve party is coming up. It's the 14th annual. It's at the Boathouse this year. It's the night before. For people that can't figure out what an opening day Eve party is, it's the night before opening day. So it's March 25th at the Boathouse. It's a tremendous party. Last year we sold out at the Moorline Lager House, and so we've expanded to the Boathouse. And tickets are still available at www.openingdayeve.com. And all the proceeds go to the Reds Community Fund, which is my favorite charity by far in town. It does so much good work for youth in our community, you know, primarily lower income youth, and just great educational programs. I don't think the Reds blow their horn about the Reds Community Fund enough. It does so much for so many kids. Every time I go out to the academy out in Mond Hill, it's just incredible. There's indoor classrooms. There's an indoor baseball field. So a lot of people think the Reds Community Fund is all about building baseball and softball fields around town. And that's really almost a secondary part of what they do. And it's just a great organization headed up by one of the finest human beings on earth, Charlie Frank. So it's www.openingdayeve.com.
All right. And that is the 25th of March at the Boathouse. Overlooking the beautiful Ohio River, right around the corner from Great American Ballpark.
Got Flash Dance Fusion coming in with an appearance, the 1942 Rockdale Peaches. They're going to do a little dance that night. We got the mascots, the 1869 Red Stockings. We got Matt Waters, one of the great local singer-songwriters. We got Bronson Arroyo. Is going to play for 30 minutes.
That's great. That's an all-star lineup right there.
You got to come, bro.
You've got to be there.
I will
free,
be there.
Free valet parking.
Well, that's clutch. That is clutch right there.
That is clutch.
Everybody loves free parking.
It's a great time. It's a really fun night.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jack, Randy, thank you for this is kind of meta, a podcast about a podcast.
A podcast, right?
Yeah, maybe that's our next podcast. This is a podcast about a podcast. Go Reds.
This was fun. Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. So once again, we want to thank Jack and Randy. And Casey, I need to ask you, what is your favorite go-to ballpark food?
I am so basic, but it is a hot dog with ketchup and mustard. Cannot go wrong.
Really?
Yes, really.
Casey,
yeah.
There's it so is. Much to choose from at Great American Ballpark.
Listen, I don't care. I played softball my whole life, so there's nothing better. I prefer like the water boiled hot dogs, which a lot of people don't like. I love them.
That is
though.
So like Little League concession stand.
Exactly.
Of you. Well, that you know what? I gotta respect that because who doesn't like a good boiled hot dog?
Yeah.
Gosh, my goodness.
It's true.
So you played softball.
Yes.
What was your position?
Yeah, I played second base.
Yeah. Could you turn a double play?
Oh yeah. Thanks to Brandon Phillips. I mean, he was my idol growing
up. Oh, he was your inspiration.
Mm-hmm, he was.
Maybe you should be on the We Love Our Team podcast because you have a, When I was on the podcast, they asked me, you know, who my favorite Reds player is of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was Johnny Bench because I was a catcher.
No way.
Yeah.
So was my dad.
Yeah. I mean, I was okay.
Yeah.
But I remember getting yelled at by the coach because I wanted to put my hand behind my back like Johnny Bench did. And when you're 10, 11, 12, you know, it's all about two hands, right?
Yeah,
two hands
on
even when you're catching. And so, but anyway, I'm going to have to like see if there's any tape of you because if we get the if we get the Enquirer softball team.
Oh my gosh, going, that'd be so fun.
We should do that.
Yeah, we should. We would dominate for sure.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know.
I
mean,
it's pretty serious ping pong competition out there.
That's true. And you know what? We've had a recent, I won't say a hiring spree, but we've added to our roster. And you know, not throwing any shade at old timers like me, but we added some youth, you know. I think we could field a pretty good team.
I think although, so too.
Journalists are notoriously terrible at sports. Terrible. So I'm glad at least you have. Did you play in high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played softball and volleyball all 4 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, we got to make a mental note of that.
Yeah.
And Casey, you also had like a very Cincinnati moment happen to you. Tell us about that.
The most Cincinnati thing. Yeah, this is probably the most about as Cincinnati as it gets, honestly. I enter Instagram giveaways pretty frequently. I've never won any of them. Except for the Cincinnati Cyclones one, which was their rebranding as the Three Ways for one night only and for Cincinnati Chili Week. And
which that's pretty Cincinnati.
Yes.
To have a hockey team could name the Three Ways.
Yeah, which is funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I entered the Instagram giveaway and I got a free jersey, Skyline gift card, like a hot sauce bottle, a can of Skyline chili, and one of their hockey pucks. And I was really excited about that.
Yeah.
And Zach, my fiance, was like, "You're going to give me that jersey, right?" I'm like, "Absolutely not. I won this. This is mine." Oh, and I got to go to the game, got to bring some friends to the game. It was just a crazy experience. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you got to throw him a bone.
Yeah.
You're not going to give him the jersey.
Yeah. Well, he didn't win the giveaway. So, okay. You know.
Well, I mean,
that's what it is.
I could see why he went to Jersey.
It's really cool.
You know, and I hear I'm it's a terrible thing. I've not been to a Cyclones game
ever. Oh my god!
When I was growing, I know Phil's giving me the stink eye too. And it's terrible because when I was a kid in Cincinnati, we had the Stingers,
mm-hmm.
and we went to a lot of Stingers games. Mm-hmm. I have like a Stingers hockey puck. I think somewhere I have a Stingers hockey stick that was a giveaway.
Yeah.
And it was sponsored by Wendy's, so it has Wendy's on the thing. And mine's pretty beat up because we actually played with it in the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw one at an antique store.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's not what I am, right? Yeah. And it was like, I don't know if someone's going to pay that much, but it was listed for $100. And I was like, I wish I would have kept mine in pristine condition.
Yeah.
But we actually played with them, you know, like – anyway, so yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to change that.
Yeah, you will.
I'm going to make a pledge to all of you listeners that I will go see a Cyclones game.
Yeah, you should. It was a great time. And they won, so I couldn't really ask for more.
No. And I hear that, like, it's, you know, the promotions that they have, like this, you know, calling themselves the Three Ways for mm-hmm. Chilean, that every week there's some fun.
They do something fun.
Crazy stuff. Yeah.
There, when we were walking around the arena, there was some guy and he had a Cyclones jersey on it and it was like Christmas with Snoopy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love Snoopy, so I'm going to need that jersey. So
you have to find one.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, congrats on your winnings. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
It'll never happen
again.
Well, no, you should keep it up. Instagram contests.
I know. My dad was like, you should enter the lottery now. Like, you need to play the lottery.
You know, when people say that, they think like your luck streak is going to continue, but mm-hmm. I think, no, you
that
blew your chance at winning the lottery because that was instead you won a hockey jersey.
That's equivalent to winning the lottery. Okay.
Well, should we wrap things up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today, once again, Phil Didion.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
Finally, if you value local journalism and haven't subscribed for full digital access at Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer for new subscribers.
Thanks again, and see you next week.